that actually be working. If you'd like, if you need a Bible, there are Bibles at the back. We're in the back corner there. We're going to go to Luke chapter 24 this morning. I want to give a thought, and I've just entitled it Light, just light, like in the way light. And let me just read. I'll just read down to say verse 8 to begin with, and then we'll see if I can. Let me just pray first. Father, I ask you to help me with this. Lord, help us to get into the Word of God and just see, Father, what happens here in Luke 24. We ask you to be with us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so here in Luke 24, verse 1, the Bible says, "Now upon," the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre. So if I get that wrong, I'm just not going to say it, okay? I'm not going to correct the Bible. I'm not going to take something out, all right? So if you don't hear me say that word, you know. But here's the point. They went down there bringing the spices which they had prepared, certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed, there about, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? So why are you doing this? Verse 6, He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you, so this is the women, when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. Now, if you think with me for a moment, they had walked with the Lord for, you could probably say, the best part of 3.5 years, okay? So they had a walk with him. They, not like us, had experiences that we didn't see. We did last week the resurrection, or the when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead. So they had a relationship with him. They were thinking largely the Lord was the one, as the Messiah, to set up a kingdom, which most of you probably would have known that that's where they wanted to sit, amen? They wanted the chief seats. But the reality is that on the most part, they walked by sight. What do you mean? Well, he was there. They could see him. They could feel him. They could touch him. That's what 1 John says. He was manifest with hand of the word of life. He was there. They saw what's recorded, or what God has allowed to be put in the Bible. So they saw it. They had experience. And I would imagine, if you were a bit like me, I wonder what it would have been like. It must have been something to wonder, you know what I mean? It was something else. And in that time, they were learning and they had expectation. Now, if you've been a Christian long enough, you've probably been learning and you have expectation. And who here has had expectation in God, and then all of a sudden you feel like the floorboards have been ripped out from beneath you? In other words, the expectation you had just didn't happen. And here's the core of it. You've got to understand, these people trusted God. Their trust was in God. If you are a believer, that's where your trust should be in him, in God. Yet here they are now, they had been walking, you could say, in a sunshine of experience. What do you mean? Who's enjoyed some experience maybe since you trusted him? They're thinking, come on, God, you've got to have some. Please, you've got to have some experience with him. It could be just the delight of reading the Word of God. It could be just the understanding of knowing that there's a heaven. Amen. There is something that happens that when you get saved, old things pass away, all things become new. Whatever it is, it's an experience. I figured out one day that I was walking down the road this way, and next thing I know, I'm going up this one. Now, that was an experience. You mean, what do you mean, Moya? Well, I was sitting in church one day and thinking, how God am I here? That was an experience. So an experience in your Christian life, there are experiences you have. But right here that they had truly a light that they could see and they followed. Yet here, when you get to Luke 24, it's the third day, it's the first day of the week here, Sunday, they've gone down here with spices. And notice the word in verse 4, it says, and as they were much what? Perplexed. Now surely we're all humans here, aren't we? I'm sure all of us here have been perplexed. Okay. because they said to them, why are you doing this? Why are you seeking the living among the dead? It's funny. I guess we've all got something to look forward to in life, but, dementia seems to come our way very early. Where did I put the stupid thing? And you're running around perplexed. And you're trying to think, God, how can I get back to where this was? You know what most Christians pray? Lord, show me, where is it? It's true, isn't it? I found that's one of the earliest prayers that you ask God. He's shown me where I lost this stupid thing. But we get perplexed. Yeah, I know, that's not a good thing. But then there's another worse thing here. Have you ever said this? Or you ever thought this? Why am I doing this? Why am I doing what I'm doing? Think about that for a moment. Have you ever just got in life, you've gone, why am I doing this? You're not too sure. And you get to that, and the angels here, and I have a little theory here that one was the Lord and the other was the Holy Ghost, but that's beside the point, but there were two men. And they said to the women, why do you seek the living among the dead? In other words, what on earth are you doing? Why are you doing this? And if you remember the very opening statement they had to the woman, and they said this, they said to the women, do you remember, get the notepad guys, write it down, that while you were in Galilee, he spake those things, what, unto you. And have a look with me for a moment what he spake unto them. So have a look there, down there in verse 8, I think it is. Verse 7. Now have a look here. So in verse 7, saying, this is the saying that they said, the Son of Man, that's Jesus Christ, must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. Now notice the word must, okay? And when you look at that word must, it's a strong word. That's why Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You can't see unless you get born again. You must. So something happens. If I was to read you, I'll go to Matthew 17, verse 22. I'll read you what Jesus said to them. He said, And it shall, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it, hang on, I've got the wrong one, 17, hang on. Yeah, here it is. And while he abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man, and he uses the word here, shall be betrayed into the hands of men. And they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. So he told them that. And he said, they shall, okay, so this shall happen, okay, so that's a different emphasis on something that's going to happen in the future, would you agree? But when the angels say, they say the Son of Man must. I want you to think with me for a moment. Right up to this point, the disciples, the women, were thinking it was all about them. They were, who's ever done this? Have you ever just thought that God is there to serve you? I know you do. You say, how would you know that, Brother Simon? I get the most ridiculous things come my way. Pray, 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 pray. What do you want me to do? Reach up to heaven and get God by the neck and say, right, you need to do this? Are you with me? We have a God that we've created, our God, we've created a God in our own mind. And stay with me, he does answer prayer, don't get me wrong. But we get in our mind that he is there to serve us. We think that the world, we are the centre of the world. Would you agree? I know I'm the centre of my own world, but true, but that's not good. Because right here he says must. And that one little word, and I'll read you the scriptures here. That right there, Jesus Christ died for our sins. Didn't just die for our sins, but he died also for the sins of the world. And John said he's not just the propitiation of our sins, but the propitiation of the whole world. As I've said, the word propitiation means to appease. He died for the whole world. You could say he paid the ultimate price for sin. You realise right there that God saved the whole world right then when Jesus Christ was delivered into the hands of sinful men. He became the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, amen. And when our identification is this, Christ died for us, true, but he also died for who? Me. Think about it. He died for us, but he also died for me. God commended his love towards us in while we were yet sinners, means we didn't know him, had no idea about him. Christ died for us. Think about that. He died for us. Now, God isn't there to serve us. In that way, he died for the world. And the trouble with us, human beings, which we're all alike, so don't worry, we have a tendency not to allow God to be who he is. So they're perplexed. They're wondering. Have a look here now. Go back down to verse 8, go to verse 9. Have a look here. Now, the women return, and they're going to return to the disciples here, and they return from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Jonah, and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words, okay, their words seemed as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then Peter ran. He ran down there. He stooped in. He looked in. He saw the linen clothes by themselves. And he departed. And he was wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. So he was Wondering. Who's ever wondered about something? We all do, don't we? We wonder about it. He was wondering. He looked in. He saw that he wasn't there. There was no body to be seen. There was the linen clothes were laying as they were put in that order. But Peter himself was wondering. So right here you have the women were perplexed. And they were kind of said, well, you know, what are you doing? And then come here with me to in verse 13. And behold, two of them went that same day to the village called Emmaus. So this is the first day of the week, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And as they walked, or they talked together, of all these things which had happened. So they're having a bit of a, they're talking about it, because Christ had been crucified. And it came to pass that while they communed together, and they reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. So you could almost sort of put it this way. The women had forgotten what he said. Peter's wandering around the darkness thinking, what on earth's going on? And these two are walking and they're reasoning with themselves. So in both incidences, they're all missing something, and I'm going to come to that, what they're missing. But we'll get there in a moment. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him, and he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he, that's the Lord, said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But, notice verse 21, but we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel, and beside all this, today is the third day since these things happened. So notice their reasoning about their trust. Who's ever doubted your own faith? Maybe not like me. I love challenging the Lord. What do you mean? Well, if he said he rose from the dead, well, how about check it out and see if it's true, amen? I'm serious. What do you want to serve? Do you want to serve God amongst the dead, or do you want to serve him amongst the living? Think about it for a moment. I used to do the thing with the pie van when I had it. How many sausage rolls, Lord? 40. Guess how many I'd put in? 41. Guess how many I had left at the end of the day? 1. And I ate it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. That was good. I got the spoils as well. Amen. But the point is that if you're going to trust in Jesus Christ and God and who he says he is, well, how about challenge it? And now I think for me, one of the big things was that when I got saved, I read a lot of books on missionaries. I wanted to know, this is what I wanted to know. I already knew about the Bible and that. But I wanted to know, how did they trust God? How did they go over to another country and God look after them and do what they were doing? See, because that to me showed me, now this is the rubber meets the road kind of deal. You know what I mean? It's not just the theology that we can have. So they reasoned, and so their trust, their doubt. Now, let me just say something to you here, and I'll come to it. When you think that God is just there to fix your problems, which we all do, then when something happens that doesn't fix our problems, do you know where we falter the most? In trust. Or even anger. But God, it should have turned out this way. But God, I've been praying to you. But you know what you've forgotten? You've forgotten that Christ died for who? Me. And you think about that for a moment. Sometimes I just get up in the daytime and all I'll do is this, and I'll walk around and I'll just think to myself, you know, Christ died for me. And as soon as I do that, it puts everything back into perspective. My trust is in the fact he died for me, he was buried, and he rose again. Think about it. We identify with everything but the death of Jesus Christ. Would you agree? And as soon as you identify with Christ dying for you, then you have a different identification. You're identifying with his death. Let's read on here. We won't read the whole thing here. Come down to, say, verse 24. And certain of them which were with us, these are the two on the road to Emmaus, went to the sepulchre, found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. So they're obviously speaking to Peter and the disciples. And as Jesus walked with them, verse 25, O fools, and slow of heart, what's the next word? To believe. You know, if you're not saved this morning, all you need to do is believe. Don't be so slow of heart. Just believe what the Bible tells you. We'll come to that in a moment. So he says, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. So you remember the two angels said to the women, do you remember what he spake unto thee? Do you know what they're missing? You know what they've forgotten? I'm going to show you they've forgotten the light of the Word of God. Amen. They needed light. The women needed to remember what Jesus had said to them. Right here, Jesus is going to start dealing with these two and saying, you've been slow of heart to what? Believe what? Watch what it says. Now, this is a good message, guys. So don't look at me too like I'm being a mean and nasty person. Because there is such a deep truth here. For every believer to get hold of, I think it really is, I really think it is so much needed. All that the prophets have spoken, and then he says this, ought, now that's what Jesus says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter his glory? Ought not. In other words, should have this happened. It should have happened. Now, why did Christ suffer? For himself? Or for who? The whole world, amen? For us. He died for the whole world. He suffered. He became the door to heaven. And expounded unto them all the prophets concerning himself. And as they drew near unto the village whither they went, he made as though he would have gone further. And reading on there that they invite him in, and they see him and understand in the breaking of bread. Then we'll pick it up and say, verse 33, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11, and notice here they found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them. So probably there's the women, there's the men, Peter's back in the fold again. The Lord has seen Peter, he was out of sorts. And they're back together. Judas is not there because there's the 11. Saying the Lord has risen indeed and have appeared to Simon. So that's the dealing there where something's happened between when Peter went to the down and saw the empty tomb. The Lord's appeared to him. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. So now they've all got together and they're all communing what's happened that day. And as they're there, verse 36, and as they spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were afraid and terrified, frightened, supposed that they had seen a spirit. Amen. Right bang through the walls, and there he stands. There's Jesus Christ right there. And he said unto them, why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands, my feet, that is myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit have not flesh and bones as you see me have. When he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed, not for joy and wonder, he had said unto them, have ye any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb, and he took it and he did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, okay? That all things must be fulfilled which were written where, everyone? Where? In the law. Okay? All things that were had to be fulfilled, where was it written? Right there. Amen. It must be fulfilled. Jesus Christ came to fulfill the word of God, the written word of God. He told them, but they didn't want to know that. Lord, that's news. I don't want to hear that. Peter, remember Peter said to the Lord when he told them that was going to happen? When they were going to take him and they were going to spit on him, they were going to crucify him. What did Peter do in Matthew 16? Remember, he took the Lord and he said, not so, Lord. That ain't going to happen to you. That ain't going to happen. This is not news I want to hear. What did Jesus say to Peter? Get thee behind thee, Satan, for thou savourest not the things of men. So not so, Lord. This shouldn't have happened. Oh, I'm sure we're all saints here. I'm sure we all come to that same conclusion. Lord, this shouldn't have happened. But anyhow, then he says to them here, and have a look. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand what? Understand what? Please say it. The scriptures, thank you. When you and I get saved, sometimes God gives us a little bit of sunlight of experience. And it's a joyous thing to become a Christian, it really is. And you're going along in your little faith and you think you've got faith that can conquer the world. Okay. And you found a newfound love and you somehow found that God is sweet to you or whatever, however it is personally. And as you're walking along, all of a sudden it does seem as though God just drops you. I hate it. I'm down there confessing, is it my sin, Lord? Is it this? What's happened here? Why is my relationship not with you? Have I gone back to the fact that Christ died for you? But I want to show you something, that you're not very much use to God while you're in that state. Because your Christian life is running on experience. Now, let me say something here. If you get around Christian, well, I'm sure a lot of us have, if you get around churches where it's all put upon experience. Now, I've been at this for 40 years, so I do know what I'm saying here. After 10 years, most people are exhausted and burnt out. Because they've gone to church looking for an experience. There's nothing wrong with serving and wanting to worship the Lord, amen? There's nothing wrong with that joy. Now, I want to think with me for a moment here, right here. These people had more experience than any of us have had in this room. They walked with him. They saw Lazarus been raised from the dead. They saw the fight. They saw the war. They saw the push against him, against the Pharisees. They saw the religious crowd say, no, you will not rule over us. They saw disciples leave him because he just wasn't what they wanted him to be, amen. So when you read the Gospels, don't think you're reading a really nice little story, but you've got to understand they were loyal. Peter was a loyal disciple to Jesus Christ. He would have died for him. But what happened to Peter? Who remembers? And he ended up in despair, didn't he? You know what Peter was running on? He was running on his strength. He was running on his, you could say, his loyalty. You know, a lot of Christians run on their doctrine. Their creed, you could say. And then they think, well, have you ever been to church and someone comes into church and they say, well, church should be this way? Who's ever seen that? You know what I like us about here? We have no false pretensions. Come as you are. Who cares? Amen. Just be who you are. Don't be somebody else. So that happens. And the Bible says, I think he said it to Reuben, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. If you're going to see anything get done for God, it's not by our might. Amen. Amen. Can at least get an amen out of everyone here? It ain't by our might. Amen. By his might. Not by might, but by power, but by the spirit of God. What do you mean, Simon? It's not us. It's got to be him. It has to be. And so, right here, the disciples they had a God that when it didn't turn out the way it wanted, then they were in danger of not trusting him. Now let me bring this right down to a real personal level here. What happens when a relationship goes wrong in your life as a Christian? You know, one of the things I do thank the Lord for, and one of the hardest things I've ever went through, was being married for 14 months, and it was over. That just about destroyed me. And then I said, no, Lord, I'm going to live for you. And he said, right, that's what I wanted. Because I had to put my trust back in him. See, my trust was in an outcome. My trust was in thinking that everything was going to be nice and happy down here. You know what I mean? You know, it's funny how I think Christians think, well, if I do this and that, I'm going to have a real blessed life. Have you ever found that's not true? Because God didn't necessarily come here just to give us a blessed life. He came here to do what? Die for us. And watch what happens here. So now the Lord is before them. They've been slow of heart. They've forgotten what he says, what he'd said. And he says in verse 46, and he said unto them, thus it's written and thus it be, hove Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead. So he brings it back to the fact what was what? Written. Now I want you to think with me for a moment. Is it fair to say that these disciples are also a witness of him being raised from the dead? Well, they can see him, can't they? So they have the witness. They saw him crucified. They're perplexed. They wonder what happened. Christ comes along, starts to deal with them, and now they are what we call witnesses, right? Now, here's the thing. When you get saved as a believer, do you become a witness? You do, don't you? And if you really want to love the Lord, then you will generally find that you want to be more identified with Him. Generally, you identify with Jesus Christ because He's your God and Saviour, amen? Looking unto our great God and Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you find out that you can also now identify with the fact that Jesus Christ did die for you. We know He died for the whole world, but not everyone knows that. Would you agree? Or not everyone wants to maybe identify with it. So in other words, if I was to say to someone, Christ died for you, it leaves a choice, doesn't it? So they are witnesses. Then the Lord says this. And then He says that Christ should suffer and the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. I want to show you what's just happened here. This is the picture of the believer. A believer is a witness, but the witness is not enough. What was Jesus putting in the hands more than anything else? What was he putting above the scriptures, amen? He was raising that up. Not their experience, not what they'd seen, but what had been what? Written, okay? Let me show you what I mean. There were three things that they all needed on that day. And it was one thing that they didn't have. You know what that word was? They didn't have light. What do you mean? They had forgotten what Jesus had said. That's light. They didn't, instead of reasoning about it, they didn't go back to the scriptures and see what the Bible, what? Said. Are you getting this? Are you realizing why sometimes you're perplexed? Sometimes why you wonder? Sometimes when you're not sure, because maybe you just haven't gone back to the Bible and allowed God to be who He is, being the one who died for you. When you start putting your trust in light and the truth of His word, then you become more valuable to God rather than your experience. You say, why is that, Moya? Because the world need what? Your experience, or what do they really need? They need light. They need this thing. They need the written word. And they need to know that Jesus died for them as well, amen? Yeah, amen. It's light. Remember Peter? Remember Peter, he denied the Lord, he was all out of whack. And he was really out of sorts with the Lord. He denied Him. Who can say here honestly with me for a moment, if you just think for yourself for a moment, you might even be in this state, I don't know. But you feel as though that maybe right now that your relationship with the Lord has been somewhat darkened. Maybe something happened in your life. Maybe you didn't turn out to be the person you thought you would be. Who's ever got angry here? Great Christians, aren't we? That's not what we do here, brother. The scriptures are for you, not for someone else. You know, most people read the Bible, oh, this must be for them. No. It's for you. The point is that who's ever just blown it, say? Then you've got an old nature called Adam. That came from Adam. And it's not subject to the law of God, neither can be. Can't be. Unless the Spirit of God indwells you. Who's ever met a judgmental Christian? Who is one? Come on. You can't point to yourself and say, you've never judged another Christian? Truly? Really? You've never done that? Man, you must be a saint. You must be perfect. You've never judged anybody else. Amen? You know, and Peter looked in that grave and he was wondering in himself. He'd already blown it with the Lord. He was out of fellowship. You know, I believe in my heart that when a believer gets out of fellowship of God, no matter what it is, no matter what the circumstance is, no matter what the trial is, no matter what we just go through living, I don't think everything we go through is a trial of faith. I think it's just because we're alive. Amen? What do you mean? Well, we live now, don't we? We're living in this world right now, in this dark world. But Peter, you know why he was wondering? There was some light he didn't have. He didn't know this. Because he was always trying to justify himself before the Lord. He was always trying to be the first one to say, to speak up in the crowd. He was always the one who wanted to prove himself. When he fell, he didn't know what to do. Because he no longer could justify himself. Amen? And then Jesus Christ came along and said, after now that he's resurrected, he said to Peter, I have justified you. Think with me for a moment. I have justified you. Come over to Romans chapter 4, 24 with me. I have justified you. Romans 4, 24, be careful of judging someone else, especially a believer. Might be just they don't have the light that they need in the circumstance they find themselves in. Maybe they just don't know. They're missing the light that they need from the Word of God. That's what the women were missing. Romans 4:24. I'll go back to it. Romans 4:24. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed as righteousness, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. Verse 25, who was what, everyone? Was delivered for whose offences? Ours, not his, he didn't have any. And was raised again for what? Our justification. Hallelujah. You know, if you've got a brother or a sister who's out of the way and has fallen and everything is just not going right, and they are wandering and they don't know what's happened to them and they're starting to walk along in darkness. Do you know what those brothers need and those sisters need? They need the light of the Word of God and say, hey, listen to me, mate. You don't need to walk like that. I want you to understand Jesus Christ has justified you. When he died for you, he was buried and he rose again. Amen? Amen. What a simple message that is. Just as if we hadn't sinned. Amen. Hallelujah to that. Amen. So don't worry about judging somebody. Start saying, hang on, they need some light. What they need to understand where they are in Jesus Christ, and they need to understand the light from the Word of God and that He has now risen to justify us. Doesn't that change everything? And then all we need to do is identify then with Jesus Christ. And Jesus had a plan. He had a plan before the, God had a plan before the foundation of the world. God said, moreover, whom He did predestinate, to them He also called, to whom He called, them also He justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. Do you realise as they were in that upper room that night, and Jesus came in that upper room, and there was one other thing He was telling them. Not only must I die, which He did, not only have I risen, which I have, He's telling them one other thing right in that room. I'm giving you the light of the Word of God, but He's telling them one other thing. And this is the neat bit. I'm coming again. I'm coming back again. And if you have My seal on you, because you've been redeemed, because you've been bought with a price, amen, I'm coming again. And I'm going to take you home to where? In My glory. You know, you know, when you think about it, why do we ask the Lord for things we really don't need? Think with me for a moment. Why do we really want the things we have? I know we need them, but don't misunderstand me. But if you think about it, I don't need anything. Christ died. He was buried. And guess what? The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. And there's glory. There's a glory up the end of the road for us. Amen. And when you think about Luke chapter 24 here, as they were wandering around in the dark, while they were perplexed, while they'd forgotten, while they were unsure, while they were reasoning with themselves, God had to come and say, listen, you need light. And I've got to take you back to what was written. And if you can be encouraged that you put your faith, by the way, faith in God is faith in the Bible, by the way. If you want to have faith in God, put your faith in what is written. And the more you do that, the more you will find the Lord walking with you, the more you will find your Christian life, and you won't get this statement. And I've got to finish with this one because I said I was cheeky. Honestly, when those angels said to those women, why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? I don't mean to be critical here, but wouldn't you say there are a lot of dead churches? Can I get at least an amen out of that? Amen, good. Because what are they doing? Why are they doing it? Why are you seeking the living amongst the dead? Why are you doing all this stuff? What's the point of it? Don't you realise He's already died for you and He's risen again? Have you ever wondered why we become so religious? And you know what religion is, by the way? Who can tell me the definition of religion? Works. And Christians are this. I get saved and then they start adding works to their Christian life. You know what you're doing? You're seeking the living amongst the dead. You don't need to add anything to your Christian life. Why? Because where was the works done? At Calvary. He's already done it. Think about it. He's already finished it. And yet we become so religious and think, well, I've just got to be the most religious person. I'm going to add this to my Christian life. And God says, go right ahead. He doesn't stop you. And I know this to be true. I was going to church once, and I'll finish here, and I was wondering why I was going to church, and I was in the pew, and I had a really dark, bad attitude. Seriously. A really seriously bad attitude. But then I was working on the car yard, and I found I was out there working away, singing away and whatever, and I just had joy. I was happy. So I said to the Lord, why is it that I'm happy when I'm not at church? Okay. Maybe this might be someone here, right? But why is it that I'm happy when I'm not at church? Because God said you'd made it into a habit. It was no longer you wanted to be there. There was no longer you loved being there. And you got to thinking, and by the way, it's no one else's fault. This is my fault, by the way. There's no one else to blame. It was me who did this. You got to thinking you had to be there. And I started to get a really bad attitude. But I couldn't understand that the attitude seemed to disappear when I was at work. I was just doing what I wanted to do, amen. And I think that's the catalyst. We have to realize that coming to church is getting light from the Word of God. It's getting the light we need for the week. Light is the thing that you and I need. We need the fellowship of one another, true. But we have to have the center of it, that it is Jesus Christ who died for us. Let's close with our last hymn, which is, I believe, 256. Thank you.